Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM.
It's Victor Thompson with this year. At some point, you're going to concede that I am a good plug for good music. I saw Dr. J dancing there. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Look, I'm definitely doing good. I think you started also on a high note.
listen. Good music. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Definitely. I do believe that, good news. Our Bible says like cold water to a thirsty soul comes our way, especially when we wait upon the Lord. And so I'm quite excited to be here today and definitely to greet again the listeners. I just had a WhatsApp message from one of the ladies. I'll be praying for the husband today, and she said, "We always listen to you."
Oh man!
Yeah, mercy tell us.
And she's listening again.
She's listening again.
Oh man! hello, and welcome. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a busy afternoon, Dr. J.
Yeah.
I was supposed to just chat to this other lady, a winner of our Pitch Your Business competition. Actually,
okay.
I think first runner up this afternoon, but unfortunately, I couldn't reach them on the phone, but I'll try later. But I must say, that's just how hectic it is. Good news all over.
Oh, wonderful!
Good news all over. There was a song, I think it was in Joy Celebration, "Wenzile okuhle kodwa." In other words, he has done great things only. You understand, Zulu?
Let me pick it up.
So you got it immediately. He has done great things. Bless his holy name.
Oh, wonderful!
And I don't want to say it's that week. That week where we get to see and witness the goodness of God as Radio Pulpit as well.
Yeah, I think we're quite excited. Last week, I just was introducing, you know, the topic, but also saying we ought to pray for Radio Pulpit because one is a ministry.
Yep.
Because a ministry, it has a spiritual undertone, it has a spiritual mandate.
Mm.
Whatever has a kingdom agenda, a kingdom mandate, like Radio Pulpit, will definitely always face challenges, opposition, and sometimes really attacks, as we might put it within that context. And so I think we were offline for some time.
Yeah, long time for radio, I must say. For me, I was surprised at how we continued. Yeah. Like, listen, nothing happened.
We're off for some time. I think due to some vandalism, I think.
Yep.
Is it?
Yep.
I think.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it happens that whatever the devil tries to stop, you should realize that is something good.
Oh, come on. There's something to it. Otherwise, you wouldn't
There's
stop
something
it.
Good. There's definitely something good, and you know, it gets that way. We want to seize this opportunity to really thank the Lord for again the restoration of our lines. We were able to reach out again to our audience, and God has been so good, so faithful. And I do want to believe that in our brokenness, that's when we even have greater impact, to have greater turnaround in the lives of people. I just had this analogy on one occasion, if you've known the phones of old, had a little antenna. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with those phones.
We call it aerial.
The aerial signal, which just was an enabler for you to be able to pick up, you know, the network around. So previous phones in the very late 90s into 2000 had those aerials, all those signal antennas, as you might wish to call them. And I still recall that one of my few first phones when I came to the University of Pretoria, I was using was one of those. And I realized that as time went on, those aerials wouldn't stand long, you know.
Okay. They start bending.
True, they start shaking, and eventually it starts telling you, "Look, you have to change your phone." And on one occasion, I still remember, you know, I tried to piece up, you know, that very aerial on my phone with the tape because I couldn't get signal properly.
And you weren't willing to buy a new phone.
And I wasn't willing to buy a new phone, so I really tried to get it back to shape so that I could pick up signal somewhere, somehow.
Oh, my word. That's when you arrived. Yeah. That was so bad. Yeah. I was a child.
I couldn't pick up signal. So eventually, you know, I'm getting ready to go out for an appointment, and I suddenly pick up my phone, and I don't know what happened. And that phone just slipped from my hands and dashed on the ground. And everything.
And the aerial fell off.
You know, the aerial fell off. Everything was in pieces, you know. You know, at that time, you have batteries. You know, we don't have, you know, incorporated batteries like we have now.
Out.
You know, those batteries where you have to remove the lid from the back. So everything just fell out. Battery, aerial, everything. So I looked down. I said, God help me. You know, I don't know if this phone will work again. Good news is that the screen, you know, did not have a crack. It was still good. It was just a battery that fell off and the aerial that also fell off. But my conclusion was that, I think this phone has gotten to its terminal and I wouldn't be able to use it again. And so I just took faith and put first the battery so that life should come in. And the next thing is, at that time when you have the aerial, it shows you the bars, you recall.
Yes.
It will show you the signal bars.
How
strong it is and everything. So previously, I've always been on low signal. But I put a battery and I piece up the phone again and I take the aerial. You could screw in the aerial, you know, so I put the aerial.
And you knew, but this is chai.
I just put the aerial, turn it on, and you wouldn't imagine. I had full signal.
So it needed Duval, actually.
And so, look, it had full signal. And my analogy around it is that it seemed broken. Mm. Broken people have a greater signal.
Come on.
You know, when you've gone through the brokenness of your life, you seem to have a greater propensity of you being connected to God. Mm. You having a signal to the divine. Sometimes when your life gets broken, and that's an analogy I'm giving, you know, to radio pulpit, that we just passed through a season of brokenness. And that season might also give us, you know, a leap forward, you know, to attentiveness in terms of people really following us, because that's a time when you really know, are people connected?
True.
You know, because people start checking what's happening.
And we had a lot of those texts.
You know, people texting and checking what's really happening. So my insight is that it might be, maybe, broken people have a greater propensity of picking up divine signals.
Come on.
I don't know how broken your life has been the past few weeks and months, but the truth about it is that I think heaven is open to those who are going through any form of brokenness.
What a beautiful analogy.
You definitely can pick up God's signal. I picked up that phone. I didn't know that it had to go through that level.
And never did you imagine.
I didn't know, realize, and really could fathom that it will be better in terms of signal reception. And I've come to realize that it's when we are weak, then we're strong.
Come on.
And that's what we've gone through as a radio, that in our weakness, in our very silence, we've been very loud.
All right.
We've definitely been very loud because God has given that amplification.
Yeah.
Even in the place of prayer where people have been praying for Radio Pulpit. Why? Because I think many lives are being touched. Mm. You know, we definitely have the luxury of cell phones and other media outlets, but the Christian radio is a huge tool.
Of course.
It's a massive, massive weapon to bring many people to the Lord. There are many people who've been following us. Some people text me. They've been following us. They've been going through very challenging moments. And it is through the very platform and the medium of Radio Pulpit that most of them get encouraged. I wouldn't even imagine many people who are at the verge of committing suicide who've just come to a year of the good news of Jesus Christ, the love of God, even through the very radio waves of Radio Pulpit, and the Spirit of God has captivated that moment to transform their lives. And so we want to seize this opportunity to really be appreciative to the Lord. We want to be very, very much thankful to the Lord and tell Him, Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your goodness, for Your mercy. We thank You for Your loving kindness, that in the midst of those upheavals, in the midst of those very disruptions, we were able to hear Your voice. But again, even much more louder, that in our brokenness, we have seen our connectedness to You. We've realized that in the analogy, some of us, when we just down, we seem not to have that signal. We emerge with greater signal.
Come on.
We emerge with greater signal because it's in our lowliness that we can hear You so well, even. And sometimes when people are so much in their affluence, you know, local, they're so much in plenty, they seem to ignore God.
Yeah.
But when you go through the trials of life, you seem to hear God. You seem to listen to God much more closer. This does not indicate the fact that in good times, in bad times, we should be plugged in and connected to God. But it happens that on average, most people who go through tough times seem to have better signal.
All right.
They seem to have better signal. I'm talking to you today, please. God is open. He says, call unto Me and I will answer you. And I believe that verse of Jeremiah 33 is still so much highlighted around your space today. We're praying that the hand of God will be over the station. We're praying that the mercies of God will be over what we're doing. But above everything, we pray that the favor of God will surround everything. Yeah. We're getting back stronger. We're getting back bolder. And we're getting back very much humbler in the place of God, because we're not taking glory for what is happening.
True.
And we're just saying, God, have Your way in the lives of Your people. It gets me back, you know, I intended to give a B part, local to this message of last week, because a number of people, I don't know why, it might be a season when a lot of people really need healing in one way or the other, because I think I've been having messages, especially those who've been following on Radio Pulpit and been requesting for me to pray either for job situation. Like today, we have the case of our brother Sitole at the hospital, and wife said, please pray for my husband. We've been following You. Just pray for him, and which we'll be praying as well. But last week, we had a passage of consideration, which was Luke 4, 38 to 40. And it was a very brief passage, which we just gave an exegesis over it. Luke 4, 38 to 40 says, Jesus left the synagogue and went to Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was very sick. She had a high fever. They asked Jesus to do something to help her. He stood very close to her and ordered the sickness to go away. The sickness left her, and she got up and began serving him, or serving them. Today I want to give you the results of your healing. What happens after your healing? I'd passively highlighted last week, but I want to actively involve you into this week. But I want to say God still heals. God still heals. And I said it really in context, because many people have put the healing ministry in perspective. I want to believe that God heals through His word. God heals by the Holy Spirit. And God heals us more and more as we get closer to Him. Because even when the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, is another form of healing.
Yep.
You know, when you come to know the truth,
yep,
and that truth sets you free, because definitely you might be taking a medication which is not in tune with whatever condition you're going through till that doctor tells you, oh, your prescription, I don't know who gave you this prescription. But it looks wrong to me,
yeah,
and he puts you back on a proper medication,
yeah,
and you get healing because you've been able, you know, to get into right information, and right information has led you to right prescription, right prescription into a proper healing over your situation. And so sometimes conventionally we've just thought of healing coming from other sources, but healing comes primarily from the Word of God and knowing the truth. First truth is Jesus, the first healing, the greatest healing is the healing of your soul. And we mentioned that as well in our categorization of different healings. We talked about physical healing, where God heals you physically, and we do believe that God still heals physically.
Amen.
Because I've witnessed that on myself, and I believe you're following me.
Yep.
And I'm praying for many people also who are physically sick, and trusting God today that God in His sovereignty will be able to reach out to you and heal you physically as well. But God also heals us even in our emotional brokenness.
Mm.
And God heals our broken hearts. We said it, that some of us are not externally visible in sickness, but we are internalized in our very brokenness. And God sees the broken hearts and heals those broken hearts.
Yeah.
And that's why we said the healing takes that dimension. It's a tripartite. It's physical. Is your soul and it's your spirit man that gets healed as well. And the greatest is your heart,
yep,
where God removes the heart of stone and gives you the heart of flesh that is receptive to His voice. And that's what we say, the salvation healing is the greatest,
yep,
you know, and we call that deliverance, because God moves you from the past life. You know, he who is in Christ is a new creation.
Come on.
And you see, the old has passed away, and that old things passing away just means that God has performed that surgical intervention in your life, and He's removed the heart of stone, and He's given unto you a heart of flesh.
Amen.
That makes you love somebody again, because the heart of stone is a difficult heart.
Yeah.
We always have a proclivity to be difficult, you know, because if not of God, if not of God in our depravity, if not of God, we would not love agape. We definitely would not have an agape love, which is sacrificial love. And so God communicates that to us in that surgical operation. Many people don't look at salvation from that very point of view.
True.
Salvation is not fixing. Salvation is replacement.
Sure.
It's a complete replacement. It's removing the heart of stone and giving you the heart of flesh that is receptive to the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray, that's my prayer for you. If you don't know Jesus, He can change your heart. He can transform your heart. He can remove that heart of stone, which is insensitive to the very love of God, and bring back, you know, and bring unto you his very love through that heart of flesh that can be receptive and that can love people as Christ also loved us and laid down His life on the cross of Calvary for us. But what happened in the context of what we dramatized last week? I told you that you can't preach expositorily without adding, you know, the element of dramatization, because most of the times you look at the Word of God as living Word.
Yeah,
it must be active, it must be living, and so your dramatization, in the words of E.K. Bailey, Dr. E.K. Bailey, a great expositor, a Baptist preacher, by the way.
Yeah.
A Black American Baptist preacher, and he said there's always an element and the finesse of dramatization that comes around expository preaching. Maybe that's what lends to the passionate preaching even.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the events that surrounded Jesus being at a synagogue and Peter also being there, his hesitation to maybe go to the synagogue, and those gaps were filling with inferences. But Peter heads out, leaving his mother-in-law sick at home. But eventually finishing whatever was happening at a synagogue with Jesus, and immediately gets primary attention, you know, from the Lord, and gets him back to his house because he needs attention over the mother-in-law who is sick. She's critically sick. And we made it even within this very space of conversation that there might be people who are critically sick. I was following Dr. Tony Evans. Dr. Tony Evans, you might know Dr. Tony Evans.
Sounds familiar.
Who eventually, after his suspension from ministry, got restored back into Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church. Due to, till now, we've not been highlighted on whatever misconduct, misdemeanor, or whatever happened. They've kept it very close. But he's been one of my very great inspirations in terms of preachers, not because he's within the context of my my theology as well, but I think he's one person who kept standards very high. He said in 1976 they had put already a disciplinary structure in church for anyone who definitely had to go through a disciplinary procedure. And so when it came to his turn, he didn't want to make an exception.
Wow.
He had to submit himself
to
those standards, and he had to go through a 1 year counseling time. And just a few weeks ago, he got restored into his very fellowship with the church, though he wouldn't be getting back to the pulpit. His son, Jonathan Evans, will be running the church now. But one thing which definitely characterized the life of Bishop Tony, or Dr. Tony, as you want to call him, he's a Baptist preacher also. is the very fact that he said, and they asked him the son asked him a question on a Q&A on the day of his restoration. And the son asked him a question, what message will you communicate to those who really have to go through a process like this, and which process is not easy, because it's not an easy process to be out. He's pastored the church for over 40 years, and this one occasion he has to be out for 1 year in terms of counseling and restoration procedure. And one thing he said, his son Jonathan asking him, what message are you communicating to those who are hesitating to go through a disciplinary procedure, to make things right with God first, then to have a restoration with the body of Christ? Because definitely whatever you've done, whatever sin has been committed affects, one, your relationship with God or fellowship with God, and it tends also affects even the fellowship with the believers. And so he paused for a while when that question was asked. Because it's not customary now in most churches, to go through a procedure where a pastor will voluntarily step aside.
Of course.
From the pulpit because of a misconduct, whatever be the situation, and give room for restoration. So he made a very compelling statement, and I want to share it now with somebody. He said, if you are sick, go to the hospital.
Come on.
If you're sick, go to the hospital. And I want to believe that as well, that the church is a hospital. The church is a place where sick people come and get a form of love, care, and restoration. So if you're sick, don't run away from hospital. Yep. Go to the hospital.
That's where you need to go.
You need to go to the hospital. Mm. And we definitely are putting a caveat here, because there are lots of pastors who say, God will heal you. Don't go to the hospital. God will heal you. Don't take your medications. Look, you might have that dimension of faith, but I want to believe that you also can have that faith of going to the hospital and meeting the doctors. And there are many people who need to, I'm not saying pastors are doctors, but inadvertently they operate as doctors, because there are many people who call us maybe more than doctors even. we have 24/7 phone calls open, and a lot of people call 2 in the morning. I've had people call me.
Do you know why I'm laughing like this? Because Mina, myself, and Mama Mbu kind of skinnered about you one day. And I was like, oh. She's like, listen, there was a time, it was a lot. Look, I was like, I believe you.
Yeah, I think those early days of ministry, you don't have a very tight, you know, very disciplined schedule around you.
And so, sadly, we also don't have boundaries.
Yeah, we don't have boundaries.
When I say we, I mean us congregants.
Yeah.
Generally, because let's be realistic, unless it's life-threatening, why would I call you a two?
Definitely.
Do you not get my point? That's what I'm saying. Sadly, we also don't seem to be practicing boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be sitting up at 2 o'clock. I'm like, no, Dr. Julio, better get me out of this. It's fine, but call him at 8 in the morning.
Yeah, and we've had that. And I always say the calling of a pastor is very demanding. It's very demanding because I know you can put boundaries, and we've tried to do that. But
it's not
again, it's not easy because you leave for your family. I want to say it very well. I preach, teach that to pastors. The first ministry is your family.
Yep. Certainly.
Then you get, you know, the church come. Your first allegiance is to God, your wife, your kids, your church, and you don't reverse that train. Some pastors have put church before their wives, before even children. Please, that's a wrong positioning. You have to put God first. Your commitment to God means your commitment second, because if you are not strong spiritually, you can also give to your wife. So you need to have an intimacy with God. You need to also pour out to your wife. You have to pour out to your kids. You have to pour out to the extended family, which is a church. And so my prayer in this very junction is that Christ comes in and heals, you know, Peter's mother-in-law, who is critically sick. And these are three things which happens when you receive your healing. And you might write them down in my very Baptist alliteration. The first thing is there's a shout of joy. And I want to believe that the mother-in-law gets up from that sick bed and says, hallelujah. So please don't hesitate to say hallelujah. Don't hesitate to give a shout of joy when God heals you. And we have come also, even within the context of our brokenness as a radio, to give a shout of joy for the restoration of our lines. And I'm praying for somebody that as God heals you this season, please give a testimony. A shout of joy is a testimony. A shout of joy is you telling people of what God has done in your life. I know that in the past it's been so much pastor, but please tell them about Jesus. Because if pastor prayed for you, he's just been an instrument that God used, but the ultimate has been God himself. Somebody said the doctors treat us, God heals us. And I want to believe that as well. That treatment comes from the doctors. Treatment comes from our counseling as pastors, but the ultimate healing comes from God. And so we ought to give a shout of praise to God. We have to give a shout of honor, glory. So shout out to God. Give him praise. A shout of joy must come from the posture, from the place of your healing. But number two, the Bible says she stood up and she served them. So the second thing which happens after you've been healed, after you've been restored, is that we get back to service local.
I think
we are a radio station that serves the people.
We've gotten back to service.
Yeah. We're serving. And that's what I'm calling you. When God heals you in ministry, you don't leave the church. You get back serving God in church. We've seen many people who have received healing. They've received restoration. They've received breakthrough. They've received open doors in church.
Get up and walk out.
And the next thing is that, look, pastor, I'm so busy. I can't make it to church. I'm repeating myself myself of some few Thursdays ago, a message I preached as well. But I want to tell you, the next thing after your healing is service.
Come on.
The next thing after your healing is greater service. So she got healed, and immediately, I believe, she just cooked the best dish for Christ and Peter and all those who came into that house.
Lunch happened.
So lunch happened. Lunch happened. She just went into the kitchen and she served them the best lunch. Permit me, I'm not saying you should give the pastor the best lunch. Don't get me wrong there. But what I'm just saying is that you have to plug into ministry. Yeah. If God has done something good in your life, if God has saved you, if God has healed you, from your salvation to God encounters in your life, it is your responsibility to plug into ministries in church and get connected. Serve the Lord. In your service, you will see more blessings. In your service, you will see more transformation. In your service, you will see more restoration. In your service, you will see more promotion. There's a lot that happens when we serve the Lord. Number one, S, shout out for joy. Number two, serve the Lord. But number three is quite critical. It's critical because it might not apply to the case of Peter's mother-in-law or maybe in our context, but I think God gave me this. Number three, sever all ties with whatever might have caused you to be sick. Okay, in this context, I'm saying, if ever you've been with bad friends, sever ties with those bad friends.
Right now, my friend.
Plug off from those who take you out for drinking, you know, for those who take you out for the wrong motives. Because not all sicknesses, let's put this caveat, not all sicknesses are as a result of sin.
Yeah.
But some also are as a result of bad decisions and some ill behaviors.
Yep.
And so we're saying you must sever every connection with whatever has accounted for something wrong around your life. I think I'm making sense out of it.
I think
I'm making sense out of this. There are some people who take you to the wrong places. Please disconnect from them. That's severing that link. Disconnect from them because that space is not healthy to you. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, it's not healthy unto you. And that's why you have to plug off. You have to plug off from that very point of connection and relationship so that you can have a healing, so that you can have a restoration, so that you can have a transformation. It happens when you intentionally disconnect from a place of hurt, from a place that gets you into a lifestyle which is not healthy. I'm writing this down to some food types that some people eat, you know, which might orchestrate also some conditions in your body. And the doctors will ask you the question, what are you eating? And when you tell them, oh, I'm eating a lot of, without advertising, so the doctors will tell you, please cut down on that. And you know that if you sever that link, you'll get healthier. So that's why I'm saying that you have a propensity to get healthier if you can sever those links. So I want to pray for somebody as we close today. Father, I pray your healing. Our topic was Jesus still heals. Father, I pray, oh God, that you heal somebody. You heal somebody physically. I'm praying for Brother Sitole on that hospital bed. I pray that you heal him. Stretch forth your hand and heal him, because by your stripes he is healed. You sent out your word and you heard your word healed all our sicknesses and diseases. I'm praying for Brother Sitole and many others who are sick, either by flu, stomach pain, headache, back pain, cancer. Father, whatever be the ailment and sickness, I pray that you heal them, because you are the God who still heals us. I pray that you heal somebody emotionally, but I pray that, Father, you restore somebody even unto their very situation, oh God, of complete mental stability. In the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, that above everything, those who are not saved, that you remove the heart of stone and place a heart of flesh, receptive to your love. Thank you for this day. Stretch forth your hand and heal your people completely, and may we testify of your goodness in the land of the living. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Yazisa ngeshishini lakho ku Radio Pulpit. Ubuyele kwisimo esiphilileyo. I Radio Pulpit ine 40 years yasungulwayo. Kwaye nabaphulaphuli abangaphaya kwe 400,000. Sinekela ngepackages ukuncedisana nawe uphuhlisa ishishini lakho. Tsalela uSanet ku 012-334-1254 okanye uthumele umyalezo ku sanet@radiopulpit.co.za okanye uthumele igama advertise ku SMS ku 37871. Standard rates apply.
Tune in for the 25th Cafe, where young adults talk about life, daily challenges, relationships, money matters, current issues, and of course, godly guidance. 25th Cafe, Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m. or listen to the podcast on radiopulpit.co.za.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.